Again, it's good to be here, my brothers and sisters. And for those who have not met me yet, I'm Father John Linden, the Vocation Director for the Diocese of Lansing. I know yesterday we had a lot more guests at the evening mass. It doesn't look so much the same, but there could be someone in here who's a guest. How do I know I'm a guest? But this is the weekend for lots of guests. It's Memorial Day weekend. And again, we talked about in the beginning, this being Memorial Day, obviously, first and foremost, the Holy Trinity, and yet all that we do in this world can be and should be some reflection of the Trinity, which we will get to. What is this love, this mystery that God gives to us of himself? But we do realize one aspect that's the same, as I said, is that fight for freedom. You know, that the reality is with our children who have gone before us, our brothers and sisters, children of this country who have died, that their value in their human life is no greater or no less than anyone that we have ever fought for or fought against as a country. Our value, our children's value, is no more than the Vietnamese, no more than the Afghanis, no more than the Germans, the Japanese, the Iraqis. All the value across the board is exactly the same as children of God. And yet there is something, and why, in fact, do we struggle with, or I shouldn't say struggle, why do we see our children, and in a certain sense, rightly so, more important to us? Well, first and foremost, we know them, just like the Vietnamese parents and families know their children. We know our children more, and there's another significant reason. There can be a different value in what you fight for, why you're fighting. And we do believe, and it just seems, at least if we attempt to do it rightly, we're fighting for something very important. Freedom. The freedom to be what God has created you to be. Where a lot of the wars we've gone against up against other countries that are totalitarian regimes, where there is no freedom. And even these children are fighting for someone that's going to dictate them and enslave them, and already has enslaved them. So there is a difference. In a sense, we even fight for them, in that sense that we fight for freedom. Because if their regime takes over, there goes freedom on the whole. So that's important to remember, that there is some value in what you fight for, but then what do we do with it? You know, William Wallace, or at least in the movie Braveheart, we hear the character William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson, saying, "What are you going to do with your freedom?" And that's the question. What are we supposed to do with this? We have got options, and the option that's so often taken is, I'm going to use my freedom for me. And, of course, we do have a country where, again, we're free to choose and to pursue the happiness, we call it, and I can think that happiness is for me, and gather. Is that a good option to take? Of course not. There are many good things that we do seek and want for ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with wanting good for ourselves. But what has God taught us about what we should do with our freedom and the chance that we have, a very short chance? We think this life is long. When we get to eternity, like Paul says, we're going to look back and say, oh, and hopefully we won't say, what a waste. What a time I wasted. Because what our time here to do, what we have the opportunity to do, is to imitate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in making ourselves a gift. What do we know about them? First of all, let's look at some of the readings and see what we're hearing today. Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire as you did and live as you did? You know, a lot of people might say, and we do hear them say, I've not heard God speak to me. I wasn't there when the Israelites were by the mountain, or the disciples today who saw him after he died and rose again. I wasn't there. I haven't heard him speak to me. In fact, I prayed and he's not answered. So there is this struggle that, is it true? I mean, literally, there are so many, especially in our culture now, with the freedom that we have, that are turning to atheism, or at least agnosticism. I don't know. I can't believe. So what do we do to combat that? Not just in them and challenging them, but in myself, that I don't fall into that trap. Well, the first thing is to realize, don't panic. Look at the gospel today. The 11 disciples, these were the dudes that saw him, saw all the miracles that he did. They heard him talking every day when he was with them. They went to the mountain which Jesus had ordered them, and when they saw him, they worshiped. When they saw him, what is this? This is after the resurrection. He died and rose again. They've seen incredible things. What did they do next? When they saw him, they worshiped. But they doubted. Don't panic. The guys that saw him, not just as he appears to us now in bread and wine, but in his flesh, human flesh speaking with holes in his hands and his feet, they still doubted. So it's quite normal, or we might say fallen normal, in our condition to doubt. The first thing is don't panic. And don't panic if your children or somebody you know is doubting. That's not the 11 did. Are we supposed to be something? We didn't see him rise from the dead. How are we supposed to be any more capable of not falling into our fallen nature? And so let's look at what the Holy Spirit, and Paul says this about the Spirit in Romans. He said, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Again, we could say, and so many do, and we can struggle with, yeah, well, I don't feel like that. I don't feel led by God. He's not speaking to me. He's not, you know, directing or making things work well in my life. But then it goes on to say, and this is beautiful, through this we'll be able to call God Abba, Father. Abba meaning Papa, Daddy. But still, if I've got doubt in my heart, what good is that? He's not acted like a daddy to me. I've gone through so much. And again, Paul goes on and says, we would be called children of God. And that could just be a knife in the heart of someone that's struggling. Until you get to the end. He says, we will be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And this is the key. If only we suffer with him. Oh. Well, that is what I've been doing. Lots of. I didn't know that that was actually part of it. And if we think back to what happened in the garden, very beginning, the sentence is given, you will die because of the sin. Little did we know, we see that as terrible, horrible. Little do we know that that actually was a gift. It wasn't meant to be necessarily the way it is now, but it was a new way of expressing what we were supposed to do without having to go through that. And what is the expression? Love. Who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? They are complete love. Again, we don't know. We're going to know a lot when we get there, but we don't know that much about them. But we know this, that they completely give themselves to each other, and they completely receive each other. They do not reject, they do not hold back. Everything I am is yours. Everything you are is mine. What is, because of the fall, what does suffering represent? The gift of myself. I can suffer, I'm going to suffer, as I've said before, we're going to suffer, but I can willingly suffer for the sake of. I can take up the same type of posture that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have, not only for each other, but for us, for me. And so that is the difference that we know and that we, or that we believe, but that we have to put into practice. And then we have to do things about it, or do things with that knowledge in our head. Just a little story of someone who really learned this in a very pronounced way and gives us, again, this image. She gives us an image that is close to God. Her name in the religious life was St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Some of you know who that is. Her name, she grew up, was Edith Stein, a German Jewish woman who grew up and saw World War I and was in a Jewish family, very devout, loved God, kept the law, but after she saw what she saw, couldn't believe anymore. So she went through an atheistic period, not believing in God. How could a good God allow this in the horrors of World War I? How could he allow that? But she was a smart young woman, given great gifts of intellect. And so she didn't stop. She took the freedom she had and she pursued the truth. Something in her heart bugged her. She knew there had to be something else. Yes, there's great horror, but there's also some good. So she pursued it and pursued it and pursued it right into the church. She became not just Catholic. Again, she became St. Teresa Benedicta, a Carmelite nun. She went from being an atheistic Jew to a suffering Christian. Atheistic suffering Jew to a faithful suffering Christian, a believing suffering Christian. And so Teresa Benedicta continued on with that love for the Lord right into Auschwitz. Because the Germans, even though she was in a Carmelite Catholic monastery, it's not like Catholics were treated any different than or any better, and particularly Jewish Catholics. They found her and they took her to Auschwitz and she gave her life. But I want to read to you, and I'm going to do something you're not supposed to do, pull out my smartphone. But it's because, they're good for some things. I want to read a quote to you. This is her. The motive, principle, and end of religious life. And we might substitute for religious life because it's very simple. Baptized life. Married state. The motive and principle and the end of the Christian life, we'll say, is to make an absolute gift of self to God in a self-forgetting love. To end one's own life in order to make room for God's life. That is the expression of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They empty themselves out for the sake of the other. It's as if they don't even know themselves except in the other. And that was Teresa Benedicta. And that is you and me, or it's supposed to be. And so what are you going to do with your freedom? Bless you for doing what you're doing now. Bless us all for what we're doing now. But is it enough? Could we do more? And one quick little advertisement I have. I brought a few more of these little books in the back with our beloved Father Brian's mug on the front. These are little books that some people think are just about discerning my vocation in life. Certainly they work for that. But they have means and methods of growing closer to God. And in the middle of it is just one little section on just six things that I should do every day. It doesn't matter if I'm discerning a vocation. I might be in my vocation already. Well, and obviously the number one is pray to God. Am I praying? Yes, good. Can I pray more? Is there anybody here who says no? Pope wouldn't even say that. We always can pray more. And that doesn't mean just formal. That means opening my heart more and more with what this thing that I'm doing, with that thing that I'm doing. Am I attentive to what God would want me here, even just thinking about him? That's prayer. Two, sacraments. Here we are. And there's a sacrament right over here. I don't know if you've been in a while, but that reconciliation, to come to the Lord and say, this is what I've done. Help me. Help my unbelief. Number three is to read the scriptures. Do you do more than just listen to the scriptures on Sunday? Do I even read them before I come to Mass? So that if you're like me, if I just heard the reading, what was that? My mind was wandering. One great thing to do before Sunday Mass, read the reading. So that you got them in your mind, and oh, if you forget, you didn't catch what he was reading. Oh, yeah, I know what that reading was. It's in here. Then the homily. Everything makes more sense. And then third is to turn to others for help. Teresa Benedicta, our saints. Read the lives of the saints. What did they do? Why did they do it? Number five, I put down as material, you know, what have I picked up lately to work on my spiritual life, to work on my relationship with the Lord? And then number six is like the culmination of it all, ministry. What have I done for someone else besides what I have to do? What have I volunteered in suffering a loss to myself for the sake of someone else in the world? Today, what have I done? So I encourage you to grab one of these if you haven't got one, or grab something that the Lord puts in your heart. Start a little more today, and I need to do myself. A little more today. How am I an imitation of the Holy Trinity so that when somebody sees me in my life, even after I'm dead, they will be moved to understand this mystery. God bless you all.